Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Those revolting children in the Broadway musical Matilda scored big in Tony Award nominations yesterday, as did Kinky Boots, Pippin, and Cinderella. Daily News Theater critic Joe Domanowitz joins me now to review the nominations and tease out any thematic threads we can discern. Hey, Joe, welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning.
So I ran through some of the big winners among musicals, new ones and revivals. Any big surprises there?
One of the surprises was how backward glancing the nominators were this year. They actually went back to two shows that have already closed in two of their best musical nominees, with Bring It On and with Christmas Story. That's a show that's going to be coming back next year. But, you know, here we have Motown, the musical, which is a huge hit at the box office. But the nominators decided that, this is not a popularity contest in terms of box office, but what were the actual shows that actually showed some artistry in their creation. So that was sort of a surprise.
And it seemed like more shows than usual opened right before the deadline for the Tonys. Are you still catching up, or have you seen most of the nominees?
Oh, no. I've seen all of them. The cutoff was the 25th, and that's always the mad dash. In April, producers of shows like to have their shows be top of mind, so there's always this glut of shows that open in April just before the cutoff, which was the 25th. So, yeah, all the critics have kind of weighed in, and now it's up to we'll see the campaigning begin probably with the nominees.
Does the strategy of opening late bear out? Are shows that opened early, like Annie, underrepresented?
Well, that Annie didn't come away with a lot of nominations at all. It often is kind of the last to open or top of mind. So there is a reason why producers do that. This is not a first. This is actually a trend that's been going on for many years. I've referred to it as the Broadway clown car. They see how many shows you can stuff into 3 weeks and just hope for the best.
So one of the dynamics here is, was it a good year for movie stars doing plays? Tom Hanks did get nominated for his role in Nora Ephron's last play, Lucky Guy, but not Bette Midler or Sigourney Weaver.
No. Yeah, Tom Hanks was sort of the exception this year. You had joining, the past overs that you mentioned. You've got Scarlett Johansson. You've got Paul Rudd, who was everywhere on every movie screen, but nobody cared when it came time to his performance in Grace. Movie stars did not fare particularly well. In many ways, Bette Midler has become a big story in her getting passed over, but I actually kind of applaud the nominators for looking at a performance, while delicious. This is not Bette doing heavy lifting. She's sits for 80 minutes on a couch, and basically what they would be rewarding her for her ability to memorize 40 pages of text. That's actually not what a Tony nomination is made of.
And Cyndi Lauper, another showbiz veteran, did well with her first crossover to Broadway. She's nominated for Best Score for Kinky Boots. Do you think that'll mean more pop artists head to Broadway, because things like that tend to be contagious?
Well, Cyndi, yeah, you're right. She's been on Broadway before as an actress in Threepenny Opera in a particularly dismal production. This is a different story. Cyndi came to Broadway. She grew up on Broadway, listening to her mother's records and wearing them out. We know her as a pop star, but she crossed over, and her score for Kinky Boots is really pretty terrific. It's got a lot of colors in it, just as you'd expect from her. But she's nothing. She's not setting a trend, really. She's kind of part of a trend. We've seen rock artists and pop artists on Broadway recently, everybody from Green Day. She's just part of a long line of rock artists.
David Byrne, speaking of rock artists, also has a musical this season, but it's off-Broadway at the Public. So is it not eligible for the Tonys?
No, it's not eligible, and if it was, it would probably clean up, because it was one of the late openers and one of the great, great surprises of the spring. It's a fantastic show. If anybody's listened to the concept album for Here Lies Love, they're actually in for a surprise. They'll know the music, but Alex Timbers, who's the director of this piece, has given it a context and a cohesiveness that it really just is a wow, and it's become a very tough ticket downtown at the Public Theater. It deserves all the audience. It deserves all the acclaim, and I just think it's a great piece.
All right. David Byrne does it again. I have to get to that.
Yeah, you get there.
Who were the big winners with plays? I guess Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, plus Golden Boy?
Well, those are two different categories, one a revival, one a new play. One of the interesting things about the way this Tony year is shaking up is that it's going to be hard to predict in some races, and in fact in many races, who the winner is going to be. In Best Play, as you mentioned, you've got Chris Durang's Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. Only from the brain of Chris Durang could you take a Chekhov and turn it into a laugh riot. Testa to Mary, which is the Fiona Shaw piece that actually minutes after the nominations came out, posted a closing notice. Lucky Guy, which is sort of a sentimental piece because it's Nora Ephron's last work, and Assembled Parties, all have their merits, all have their minuses, and I think that's kind of an open race, and it's kind of a interesting way to go into the Tonys. You know, I like a horse race, and I when you know who's going to win, it sort of takes some of the fun out of it. I think this is going to be a closely watched year because there's a lot of so many unpredictable races.
I'm guessing Cicely Tyson is the oldest nominee this year. I've seen her age given as anywhere from 79 to 88.
That's right. That's right. It's the eternal question, I guess. Cicely Tyson's age. She's somewhere between the young Jane Pittman and the 110-year-old Jane Pittman. You know, so she's always had a career that's kind of played with ages, and whatever her age is, she's quite a force in The Trip to Bountiful, and it's great to have her back on stage. It's been quite a while. I think it's something like 30 years since she's been on stage.
By the way, Tom Hanks, if you're listening, I owe you an apology because I recently misquoted you on the show. I said that you had said on another show on the station, corrected a host for misquoting Wikipedia on where you were born. I said that to Alan Alda when he was on, and it turns out I was wrong. It wasn't Tom Hanks who said that. It was Alan Alda on one of our other shows. So I stand corrected. In our last 30 seconds, does the Tony offer a bump when it comes to ticket sales?
I think it does, actually.
Because the Testament of Mary announced it was closing, even though it got a Best Play nomination.
Right. I think that's more about the economics of Broadway. That was a show that was earning, you know, $200,000 or less. And it consisted of one actress and a bird. And it just is a prime example of just how expensive it is to run a Broadway show. Mounting that one-woman production probably cost in excess of $2 million, maybe three. It's producer Scott Rudin, who has a cash cow in the Book of Mormon. You know, he's the same guy. But Broadway is a really expensive place.
Joe Domanowitz, Daily News. News theater critic, thanks for running down the Tonys with us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.